Hi, I'm Lauren.
And I'm Scott, and we're the Reedies.
That's right, Reedies, spelled ready.
It's a pun, one I've heard my entire life, so much so that we've decided to make it a thing.
Ready or not. On this podcast, we've already shared our journey to becoming adoptive parents while owning a business together.
And we're back with more about all of it.
This season, you'll hear mostly about business and life with a little bit about parenting our toddler.
And as always, you can bet we're ready or not.
Hey, 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 welcome back.
Hello, and welcome to Ready or Not Season 4, Episode 3.
One year ago.
We didn't practice our rhythm on that.
Yeah, that
1 year ago is what we're going.
1 year ago. Today, well, really the last week or so, we've been reminiscing about the last year or so of our lives and the moments that we all realized this stuff was real, the pandemic was real, and COVID was going to drastically impact the next 12 months. So this episode's all about recapping that, talking about what we learned.
Yes,
where we are.
With the meaning of hindsight 2020 forever changed.
You're right. Forever.
But we are here. So, and since our last episode, a lot has changed in our lives.
Oh my gosh, guys. So much. I suppose we should just dive right into that, because before we get all this other stuff out about reminiscing, when we recorded the first two episodes of this season, that was, I don't know, what, 3 weeks ago? And the thing we're about to share with you wasn't even on our radar.
Yes. It was actually the very next day we decided to buy a house.
We didn't practice that either.
Moving to another neighborhood in Memphis called Mud Island, right near Lauren's parents. And it was
bizarre.
It was crazy fast.
So I just want to disclaimer this by saying that this wasn't on our radar for 2021. It wasn't on our vision board for 2021. But it's something we've talked about doing always. We've planned to do it in the 5 to 10 years, maybe 15 years.
Yes.
We've envisioned it, and we've even, we put together a list of requirements,
like must-haves for
this to happen.
Yeah, and they all sort of came together with, you know, somebody knew somebody who was putting their house on the market, and
here we are.
And in this time, so since we last talked to you, we bought the house, we've sold our current house, it sold in 2 days, which is amazing and awesome, and now we are looking at moving here soon.
Yeah, we're going to close on the house in 3 to 4 weeks, both houses. So I think the reason why I share this with our audience is, well, first off, I hope you all come visit when we get through this, because it's beautiful. It's not like we're on the river and can jump in the river, because it's the Mississippi, and we just don't do that down here in
Memphis. It rolls fast around
the Memphis. You don't want to get in the river, but the river is beautiful, and it's the closest thing I could say to having a beachfront home without the beach, with the sunsets and the seasons and all the things that rivers represent. But this decision, your family joked, this is a very Lauren and Scott decision.
And that's where we're going with this, is so sort of, you know, how we came to this was, we had this on our radar a ways down the road, and sort of Lauren and I, as we've talked through, like, are we crazy? I mean, yes, but as we talked through, like,
ready or not,
why were we ready to make this decision? It really came down to, we kind of both had our boxes that we had to check of, like, if we're going to do this in, like, in my mind, it was 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
You say 5 to 10. I was thinking 10 to 15, but we're different people.
There in and of itself is probably one piece of the vision we never fully discussed. But
yeah. So, you know, being near Lauren's parents, which is great. Being down by the river, which is great.
We didn't tell them it's near my parents. So there you go.
Well, I said that earlier, but
I'm just too excited.
Yeah. But that was, and then, so it kind of, like, this opportunity came. It met all the requirements we had put up. We went.
And we dove. Yeah. And I think that's the thing we were talking about, this is because we talk so often about what our vision is, knowing that those visions shift and change. When we say it out loud and make our list and say, these are the things that would require us or would make us be interested in making some kind of change like this, then we just sort of table it. And if opportunities present themselves, we have already talked about it. And so we're not just making a knee-jerk decision. We are making a decision quickly that we have been talking about or thinking about or manifesting or planning for a long time.
What I want to bring up is kind of what inspired this in our minds was a story a friend told us a long time ago about, and I'm going to butcher the details here, but the gist is right, is basically there was a guy who was running a nonprofit, and he had an idea that, you know, he had his small budget, and he had like his $1 million idea. Like, if I had $1 million, this is what I'd do. And he would like carry around the book that had what he would do with $1 million. And then he got that opportunity and someone said, what would you do with $1 million? And he had the answer right there.
Yeah. He'd been doing the work. He had a vision already.
And so it's one of those things is like to just try to think like, what would you do if you were further ahead? And like in our business, that's why we try to set goals of like, what if we were double the size,
what would it look like?
What would it look like? And that way, when that comes,
you've at least prepared yourself to walk down the path. And, you know, if you believe in like manifesting and you know, all those things, which I don't know if I believe in them or not.
Visualizing.
That, yeah. I do believe in visualizing. Mm-hmm. But if you believe in those things and you imagine yourself doing them, they're achievable or more achievable because you believe they can happen. And so we didn't just make this decision on a whim. We made a fast decision that we've been thinking about for a long time. And it just sort of represents kind of who we are and the name of this podcast.
So. Yes. And so all that also to say, like with that visioning stuff that we've been talking about a lot over many episodes, also because we're going to be moving our entire life here in the next
3 to 4 weeks.
3 to 4 weeks. We might miss an episode or two, but we're going to try.
We're going to try really hard. In fact, we're sitting here. Thank you, Daylight Saving Time.
Yeah, giving us an extra hour.
We lost an hour. So it's 11 p.m.
Yeah, we're awake right now. Because we haven't adjusted.
So we're like, let's just record a podcast real quick before we have a house inspection tomorrow and you recover from your second dose of the vaccine.
I did get the second dose of the vaccine today. Thank you, Walgreens.
Yes, yes. The story of that is really, for another day, but we didn't take a vaccine from anyone who didn't.
Watching for those extra doses.
Yeah, so it was a situation of use it or lose it for both of us.
And actually, both of my shots were use it or lose it because I was supposed to get it tomorrow.
I know.
And they called me today and they're like, we have some expiring. Can you come today? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so that's a whole other topic. But we're finding that in our community, access is decent.
Getting better.
Getting better, but the issue is whether or not people will take it. So I suppose we could do a whole other episode about why we chose to get the vaccine.
Sure, maybe.
If you want to hear that, just let us know. But on that note, now that you know all the major life changes that have happened since we recorded 2 weeks ago, why don't we dive into where we've been for the last year, the year that we all kind of paused, and what that felt like. A year ago today, I want to share a clip so that everyone can hear what was going on in our house a year ago. Okay, that's adorable. That was at 9:34 a.m. on March 15th, 2020. We were 3 days into a 4 to 5 month quarantine, Scott.
Mm-hmm. With a little boy who like could barely speak. And I heard that clip when you found it earlier. And like now Max like says full sentences and like I can very much clearly hear what he says. Now I want to like make him go sing that song again.
I know, because he could probably do all the lyrics to that song.
If he wanted to.
And I remember that because school had been. So let's just go back a few days before this video clip. Mm-hmm. We had talked about this. And, you know, if you've listened to our last episode, the hyper analytical Mr. Scott over here, hyper rational, we had a little bit of conflict around COVID. Not because you're not a believer, because that's not true.
Yeah.
But I was like panicking and saying, like, what are we going to do if we have to shut down? What are we going to do if Max's school closed? What are we going to do if our business gets no work? And you were just kind of like, I mean, you were really relaxed about it. Well, why, because I even talk about it now. I get like mad at you. I'm not mad at you, but I was like, come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this, but.
You're super logical. I mean, you were following the news. And you were like, this is happening in large populated areas.
Yeah.
So slow your roll, Lauren.
Yeah. So Lauren and I talk about our like, oh, bleep moment.
Oh, fill in the blank of children.
I don't want to have small ears here. I'm cognizant of that now. You know, my first moment that I thought, wow, this is a really, really big deal was when they canceled the NCAA tournament, right, which we're on the cusp of right now. And the reason was because they were leaving all that money on the table. And I know that advertisers and everybody is huge on that, and basketball programs are made by winning the tournament. So I thought, if they close that, this must be really serious. But
it's a big event with lots of people.
My thought was a big event, lots of people, lots of mixing cross country. This must be a big thing. And I was like, but in my community and my small group of people that I see, is this really going to be a thing?
And the six people I work with. And,
if I just avoid crowds of 50,000 people, am I going to be just fine?
Yeah. I think that's a good way to explain how you like logically came to not be panicked.
It was like, this is real and this is very contagious and very dangerous, but like, I'm just me in Memphis.
Yeah.
I don't see that many people on the daily. Like,
and I remember, that when that started, it was like everything started to drop because mm-hmm. that happened after Max's school closed for 2 weeks.
Yeah. When the NBA canceled the season.
I mean, the first thing was South by Southwest the week before. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh my gosh, wow. South by Southwest. That's a lot of money too. And that's like a really big event.
Well, and a friend of ours had like a big party with cocktails the week before. It was like, it was a fundraiser.
And that was
for
when
nonprofit.
We had the second case in Shelby County.
Right.
And we were just reminiscing with her and she was like, yeah, I think we remember hearing, oh, 2 cases. We mm-hmm. should probably buy some hand sanitizer.
Yeah. And like my brother was in town and we went to this party and everyone's like drinking. It was like,
and we were certainly thinking about it, but we weren't like, this is going to shut us all down in a week.
It wasn't close. And of course, we didn't think it would be in our circle of the 150, 200 people that were in that room. But
because no way it could impact us, right? And so I remember you were really calm about this, and mm-hmm. I wasn't. But we sent Max to school on March 12th, mm-hmm. and we were like, okay. And then we got to our office, and an hour later, the schools announced that they were closing.
Like when you pick up your kid today, they will be home for 2 weeks.
And they were like, it was an extended spring break. That's mm-hmm. what they said.
Yeah.
And I remember picking up Max from school, and you hear in that, I mean, he was young. he was a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I remember picking him up being like, what are we going to do for 2 weeks? I mean, I guess we'll just like.
I remember you put a post out on Facebook, like, how do I feed my child lunch for 2 weeks?
I didn't know what they fed him during the day. I sound like a dumb parent. I didn't know.
It was not on our radar.
It was not on our radar. What do you feed a toddler during lunchtime? Because mm-hmm. like, I mean, not that we don't feed him on the weekends, but you know. How do I do that for a whole week? And mm-hmm. breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Oh my gosh. Like shout out to stay-at-home moms.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I'm sure they all felt like they were the unsung heroes of 2020.
And I always felt like to a degree, and judge me if you want on this one, but like when he would eat at school, I knew he was getting enough food. So if he wasn't really interested in his dinner, like we have him eat.
Yeah, we don't cook special for him.
We have him eat what we eat. So if he doesn't want to eat it, like he just doesn't eat. And
but
he'll,
for us,
he'll
I was like,
it,
what
like,
do we do for lunch? Because now I don't know what I do for lunch.
Well, it's like, now I can't trust that because he needs food.
Yeah.
And I can't just like not let him eat. So like I have to make something that he'll actually eat for lunch.
I put a Facebook post out and a bunch of people gave me all these like mom blogs, mm-hmm. which why are they mom blogs? Dads feed their kids too, but that's a whole other thing.
Easy.
I know, but they put out hot dogs was the thing. We got him hot dogs. Mm-hmm. We got him blueberries,
grapes, strawberries,
bananas. That we cut up because we were afraid he was going to choke. Anyway, this is way too long of a story to say that we had no idea. He came to work with us on Friday. Mm-hmm. The song I just played of him singing was Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Sunday we decided we're going to bring Max to work a couple days this week. Mm-hmm. And we'll like let him take a nap in the studio. But nothing at work had been really canceled. And so we came into work on Monday morning. That was March 16th. Mm-hmm. And huddled around everybody. We did our morning huddle. And I said, I just want to chat. Like, you know, over the weekend, we decided we would all take care of each other by not going anywhere. We didn't go to church. We didn't go out to eat. Everybody on our team said, we're just going to stay home. Mm-hmm. And I thought that we were going to have a discussion of like what a staggered work plan might look like, or, you know, you and me in and out because of Max. And within, I think like
two days by Wednesday,
Two minutes of that conversation, everybody I think except Brody and I said, we've got to go home.
I remember by Tuesday, everybody was home.
Most of them were out of the office. Brody and I were the stragglers, I think, because mm-hmm. we were like still holding on to whatever we could. And so by Wednesday, everyone was remote and mm-hmm. we had a morning check-in, and it was like fun at first. It was like, oh, I'm at my kitchen table. And, you know, you're at your kitchen table and you're on your couch and I can see into your bedroom. You know, I was just like goofy. And then 2 weeks later, it was like,
did we have Jen babysitting Max during that period?
No, she was, because she was home, but also like teaching.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a very, and we were like, wait, if we're quarantining, then like we shouldn't have Brody and Jen come over. It was just, it was a very scary, weird time.
It was all
time.
Back and forth.
And yeah. It all escalated so quickly. And we were watching things come out of Italy and New York. People were dying. You know, because there wasn't ventilators and it was scary. It was very scary. And so my, oh, you know what moment, besides all the things you just said, was when I went to the grocery store a year ago, mm-hmm. like on March 15th, this is when we're recording. And I thought like, I went at night cause I was like, cool, no one will be there and it'll be safe. And every single shelf was empty because they had announced a 2-week a safer at home order. And
that was the Memphis flavor of stay home.
Yeah.
It was only, the Memphis only court. Essential businesses.
Yeah. Only essential businesses. So we weren't considered essential.
At that point we
had everybody home and it was fine. But the grocery store was, there was no milk, there was no eggs, there was no meat, there was no bread. There was literally, and there was no frozen pizza. Like, I mean, there was nothing in the store. And I thought, oh my God. This is such a first world thing. I acknowledge that. But it was the first time in my adult life that I thought, I have no idea what we're going to do if we run out of food. Which is like very dramatic sounding now because there's plenty of food where we are. But it just felt like very, we just didn't know what was coming. And so it was scary. I remember grocery stores finally did get stocked up because, you know, everybody panicked. And then you know, we kind of got a routine. We would wipe down our groceries, which is laughable now. We weren't wearing masks yet. Like, we were still going out, not often, but like when we did go out, there was no mask wearing.
Our grocery store that's right by our house here was like the only one in town who was requiring everyone to mask. And it was like,
but not for like weeks. It wasn't until like April that they required masks.
But I mean, they did, but they were even way ahead of the curve on that. It's like they started doing it nowhere else was. People were getting mad.
I shopped there because they were protecting their employees. Mm-hmm. So that whole time was just very scary and weird. And my sister's birthday was around there. She turned 30 and we were like afraid to see her. And we stood outside with signs and like, it was really sad, sad feeling. It was also during Lent, like it is now if you celebrate that. And, so we were already in the desert spiritually and we were like literally in the desert, emotionally and physically and scared. At the same time, it was the first time I was explaining this to a friend. It was the first time that everybody had something in common
worldwide, because
everyone was quarantined. Everyone was home. Their schools were canceled. Their workplaces were home. Obviously, there's a lot of things that went with that. Job loss, all kinds of health issues that were neglected, all those things. But like, we were all home. And that's crazy to think about. For the first time in our life, everybody was in the same place at the same moment in history. So it was weird. It was hard to get through. But as I think about it all, I want to talk about some of the things that make us cringe now over the last year that you say out loud now and you're like, oh gosh, we did that?
Well, like one thing we did as deep in September, because that's when your dad's birthday is. We have video of us all sitting around a table at a restaurant. Now there's no one else in the restaurant, but like we all like took masks off and we were all like.
It kind of makes me cringe.
And I see it on video. I saw it on our year end recap of like, we took a couple video clips of in there, like singing happy birthday. And I was like, we're all not wearing masks.
We were inside.
Why were we doing that in
September? We had no idea the spike was about to come in November, October, November. I think about how we gathered in the summer. It sort of felt again like we were still distant, but we gathered with our sort of quarantine, I like to call them, often unmasked outside.
Yeah,
which was okay, but when it got real bad, we didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
And then I will say that I took a few meetings inside unmasked in the summer.
There was still some social pressure for a lot of that stuff, and there still kind of is. Like some people never really got there, but there, especially in the summer and even into the fall, I remember having some discussions. Laura and I had some discussions about like whether or not to attend certain meetings or group meetings in person.
It makes me cringe thinking that we had the discussions and that I attended them. But I also think you know, you make the best decision with the information that you have mm-hmm. at the time. And in those given moments, we tried to do the best we could with what we knew. And I do remember at one point sitting in one of the meetings that I was in, and, you know, we were really responsible. I mean, we haven't even still been out to eat, so we needed to do that, by the way. I looked around and I thought, why do I think that because I trust these people that they could not have COVID? Because mm-hmm. like COVID doesn't care who you trust. Mm-hmm. COVID doesn't discriminate. And so just because I trust you and we're in the same room together doesn't mean that you could have brought COVID to me from something unknown or something known.
Well, you just watch that, and we've seen it at different places around the world, that exponential threat spread of like one person meets two people meet two people, four people meet four. Like,
right.
It grows so quickly and so crazily.
It's crazy. So one of the other questions I've been thinking a lot about, Scott, is what do you wish you would have done more of?
What I wish I would have known back then, and we've talked about this, is we've recorded podcast episodes. We were very worried about our business. And I don't know how that came across in the podcast, because like on the surface, we had a good plan. And we had everybody like, we had like 6 months, we were okay. Yeah. We very early got a plan of what we were going to do. But we were really worried about it. And so we were like working really hard to make sure it kept going. And constant. Because of that, we ended the year pretty well, all things considered. So like, you know, looking back now, it'd be like, well, if I knew that third and fourth quarter were going to be okay and we were going to be busy, you know, maybe I'd have taken some time off, spent a little bit more time with Max. And it's been like, let's just like, chill.
Relax. It's okay if we have a day or three that we don't have anything to do.
Well, and just like give ourselves some mental breaks instead of trying to grind so hard to be like, we're dealing with this global pandemic that we have no idea what's going, trying to read everything and also trying to run our business and do all our jobs 100% all the time because we are worried about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And all of that stress to kind of gut through it really built. And had we known that it was going to be okay on the other side, maybe we wouldn't have done that so hard.
Yeah, but,
there's that double-edged sort of like, because we did that, did we end up in a good place? I don't know.
Dare I say, but, hindsight 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking, I agree with that, but I also wish that I just would have, you know, I say that we all paused last year, but like, I didn't really pause. I didn't really panic. Mm-hmm. I pushed, and I wish I would have just paused, period. And I actually don't know that if we had, we'd be where we are. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, mm-hmm. I wish I could have told myself it's going to be okay. And, you know, your business will get through this and you'll come out of it stronger. But at the time, all I could think was someone I know and love is going to leave, mm-hmm. is going to die, and our business is going to tank. Mm-hmm. Even though I had no real proof of either of those things just yet, that's just immediately where I went. And I spent a lot of time in those spaces mm-hmm. instead of trusting. And I know that that's not how it turned out for so many. So like, there's a little bit of that, like survivor's guilt mm-hmm. that goes with that. I know there are so many businesses that didn't survive. I know there are so many people that died. And so I don't take the experience of where we are lightly by any means. In fact, I'm very appreciative and grateful to be here mm-hmm. and to have a business still, you know, operating and employing people.
I think that's one of the things that sort of we didn't talk about going this way, but sort of grateful for on the other side of it is like looking back and being like, we were able to work our way through it. We had a good team to go through it, you and I, mm-hmm. And we just marched through it. And Max grew up and, you know, learned to talk. And
you know what's,
he doesn't even know any different.
The truth is, majority of people did that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody that's listening, everybody that's reflecting, we all did just that. Like, we got through it. It's like that book, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. I love that book because if you haven't read it, there's a line in every page that says, we can't go over it. We can't go under it. We have to go through it. And that's so true. It's a metaphor for joy and sorrow. It's a metaphor for all the things we've talked about in our previous episodes about our adoption journey and our business journey and our marriage and all those things. And I think that this year was a giant metaphor too. We couldn't go over it or under it. We had to go through all of it mm-hmm. to get here. And we all learned to appreciate what really matters to us. Mm-hmm. And to the people around us, and to appreciate the people that are around us. Which leads me to my next question. What are you looking forward to? Now, we know that this isn't over yet. Mm-hmm. We know that there are millions of people who still need the vaccine or immunity, whichever comes, whatever way that comes. What are you looking forward to?
You're going to put me on the spot.
I know. This is fun. If you can see him, his eyebrows are like... You're going to think about this overnight and be like, we should redo this part because I found a better answer.
I think what I'm looking forward to is much like our first year, maybe our first 6 months with Max, there was a lot of anxiety that we couldn't really put our finger on of just like trying to keep hold of all the things. Mm-hmm. And like with Max, trying to keep hold of all the things we had to do. And I feel like with COVID, we've all had to hold on so tight to be like, this is here. These are all things we need to remember. And it's just occupying so much brain space to be like, I always need my mask. I always need to know where I'm going. I need to plan out where I'm going. I need to order, you know, like all of those different things.
Yeah.
Who have I contacted today? Of like starting to, two parts of that. One, it's not over yet, but it feels a lot more natural and a lot more automatic muscle memory to like wear masks and do that stuff. So I don't stress about it. I have masks and extra masks in all the places I need them. So I feel like I'm never like going to show up a place and be like, I don't have a mask. I don't know what to do. Like showing up without your wallet. Is that what I felt like when I would forget it sometimes? Like, oh, I can't buy anything. But just like getting to that point of we've kind of been operating this and then some of that stuff will start to release. We won't have to be as strung about it. And I am looking forward to that sort of release of some of those anxieties and some of those just things that were occupying spaces in my brain.
That actually is a very deep and hyper analytical answer. So I'm going to be all touchy feely over here because I'm the extrovert that mm-hmm. Misses my people. Like I cannot wait. And we've already started doing this with some of the people in our circle that are fully vaccinated because Dr. Fauci says, mm-hmm. if you're fully vaccinated, you can be unmasked together in the room with another fully vaccinated person. Yeah,
small
person.
Groups of people.
Everyone has to be fully vaccinated mm-hmm. in order for this to happen. So we're still wearing masks around a lot of folks, as we should.
Yeah, well, I've been halvesy on all these stuff.
I was going to say, you've been masking up, but I can take my mask mm-hmm. off if I'm with someone. I am looking forward and will be probably emotional randomly to spending time with people. There are a lot of people that are near and dear to me that I have not been able to connect with authentically beyond FaceTime and Zoom. I can't wait to be in their presence mm-hmm. and just be like, I don't even care what we do. We could sit outside and I just can't wait to be physically near people that I've missed for so long. And those people know who they are. And I'm sure they're hearing this and thinking the same thing and being like, oh my God, we're so far away. And some of them just live across town and some of them live across the country. So I'm looking forward to that and all the things that will come with that, which will likely be travel and all those sort of superficial things that we've not been able to do, mm-hmm. but it's the people and the relationships that mean the world to me that I can't wait to see in person. And that will be so energizing for me and maybe a little exhausting because I've gone a whole year without seeing some of these people. I mean, a whole year has gone by.
Yeah.
We have not seen people.
Well, we've talked about that with some of our friends of like all these people, like sort of the second level friends, I guess, is like people you like are good friends with, but you just don't see each other all the time. And through this have not because varying levels of quarantine, varying levels of comfortability, you know, all those different things is like now to reconnect all these people, but having missed a year of their life and what has happened.
Yeah. It's just like, we have so much to catch up on. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. We have so much to catch up on. There'll be lots of hugs.
Yeah.
I hugged my mom today. Ooh, mm-hmm. that was so fun. I was like, oh my God, we can do this again. And we can do it without fear of you know, honestly, of me giving her mm-hmm. the virus. And, you know, that's still a possibility. It's just a lot less likely. And that's beautiful. And I can't wait to, honestly, I can't wait to hug your parents without fear. Mm-hmm. I hugged them, but I was fearful that I would be giving them something. And those things are going to be, I think that's a combination of what you're saying and what I'm saying is just like, oh, just a big sigh of relief. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't know when that will happen, like the sigh of relief or when I will feel not anxious about.
I don't think it's going to happen all at once. I think it's going to be kind of like the way we stepped into all of these things is we'll sort of slowly step out of all of them too.
Yep.
As different things happen, you know, the city that you live in how widespread is it? You know, how many people are getting the vaccine?
What your personal experience was with COVID.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be drastic. I think people who lost loved ones to COVID are going to be a lot less likely to be diving right back into this life.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's hopeful to be here. I didn't think we would even have a year of this. So I'm losing my mind a little bit there, but it's been fun to ride with you. You're fun.
Well, that's good.
We've had some fun times. Mm-hmm. Lots of really fun memories.
We've found some new stuff too. Yeah, and we've a lot more camping than we ever did before.
I know. We've developed some hobbies and
Max asked to
drink a lot of wine
all the time. He wants to go camping.
And I didn't really camp till I was like 28. So that's a whole other podcast. But I hope that if you're listening to this, that you're going down memory lane and that you're still looking for the good, because it's been a year of a lot of bad. And I think when you look back and you think about where we were and how we had no idea what was coming, and we had no idea, even though the data said what was coming, we were denying it. But here we are.
Yeah. And also, you know, sort of the things we learned from the experiences we had and the people we did spend time with, and how those all went down and what we talked about.
So. Another year, another podcast episode.
2021.
We're so grateful that you're here with us listening, and we hope that it's inspired you to reflect on your last year, the good, the bad, the triumphs, going through it instead of over it and under it.
And we love hearing feedback about what we've talked about. We had some from last episode. If you have anything to share, feedback@readyornotpodcast.com.
We're growing together, y'all. That's what we do. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week here on
Ready or Not.
This podcast is brought to you by Forever Ready Productions, produced by me, Lauren Reedy, with graphic design by Brody Kuhar. We'll see you next week.